What's going on? What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Vunganyi right here in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America. Hot, hot.
Upfront is a show that explores issues
that affect your daily lives. Don't move, don't move that dial. Get your snacks, get your cup of tea or your cup of coffee. Put your feet up. This is Upfront. Cheers, cheers. Clink, clink. We engage you, the listener, and interact on a different topic each week. We've got loads of good tunes, lovely music, and lots of analysis to keep you going.
And interviews from experts or you young people telling us what you think about our daily topic.
That's always the best part of the show, Jackson, to hear what the listeners have to say. There's always lots of juicy comments and lots of different perspectives. Absolutely,
so stay tuned. Welcome to Upfront, The Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi in Washington, D.C. Now, there's no doubt that Africa has some of the most creative minds in the world. And this past decade alone has witnessed a tremendous growth in our creative industry. From film to music and other forms of art, Africa's creative passion manifests itself in many ways, many different ways. And that has been compounded by a youthful generation of creatives that take inspiration from local and foreign experiences. But also, let's not forget that access to new technology has helped tell the African experience in more innovative ways. For example, these days, it's hard to tell the difference between a music video produced in Kampala to that made in a major studio in New York City. So really, technology has helped improve the production quality of all aspects of our media, most importantly, the visual aspect. Still, there are many people who say that where we have made strides in production quality, the content itself has not evolved. And that probably explains why Africa's share of the global creative economy is less than 1%. Analysts say that even as the production quality has markedly improved, the content itself has not. Aside from a few professional musicians and filmmakers who have enough time and resources to invest in their work, many who are in this industry do not take time to create solid stories that would appeal to the global marketplace, but also tell the whole story of the African experience in a balanced, more realistic way. So let's talk. Do you feel that our creative industry puts more emphasis on quantity and less on quality? This is Upfront on The Voice of America. Stay tuned for more.
People who have learned about music, about writing, about words, so that those people can guide them, producing what is relevant to the community.
The music and film industry, the standards have fallen. Let us not pretend. A few musicians have made their name. The Bonars, the Manu Dibangos, and let me tell you, in this contemporary Cameroonian music, we don't have anybody to count on. Honest, to be very honest with you, there's nobody to count on. Well, we just say, okay, because this is our brother, he sang a song and so we could dance. In the film industry, it's even the worst. Spillage from the Nigerian film industry, Nollywood, has enveloped our market, and people, we cannot even match with them. We don't have the material, we don't have the equipment. We have the brains. The government doesn't even help. The private sector cannot help because the private sector is limping. So how will it help the film industry? For our film industry to even match up with 1/10 of what it entails in Nollywood, that is in Nigeria, we should take at least 50 years.
Bubbly, 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 bubbly. You make my head come down. It was last year. Could say compared to the past, at least there is that improvement. If you say some 5 years ago, it wasn't like this. It was something like, I can call it, allow me to use, maybe it was like trash. But this time around, when you are listening to Malayan music, at least you listen to music, what music is supposed to be. Yeah, to the other side, I can say that there are some other musicians, they are copying international music, yes, international touch. They are reaching that standards, but there are some musicians, they are sticking to the tradition, and they are doing it fine. That's why I'm saying, at least Malayan music has improved.
The quality of Malawian music as of now is going down little by little, because most of the people are taking music now as business, not as career as it was. Because a long time ago, music was really pure music, and there was a little message. When someone say, I will listen to a music, Malawian music, there was a message. And when you really listen to that music, you get that message. But nowadays, you can't get that message. What is there is just full of entertainment, full of foreign styles.
Welcome to Upfront on the Voice of America. I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg. Jackson Vungani is in Washington, D.C. Thanks for joining us, and to all of you who contributed your opinions to today's show, a special shout out to you. We're still on the issue of Africa's creative arts. Now, it's important to note that across the continent, we are at different stages in terms of developing our creative industries. In some countries on the continent, like Nigeria, where Nollywood produces hundreds of thousands of locally made movies each year, the industry is vibrant, it's known. In other countries, the music industry is doing very well. But then again, it brings us to that question of placing quantity over quality. Now, experts say that a country's creative industry can foster economic growth, boost job creation, and export earnings while promoting social inclusion, cultural diversity, importantly, and human development. That's why we're having this conversation today. Very important. Stay tuned.
Nadia, the creative industry is broad, and experts say that Africa's creative industry, like other parts of the world, embraces economic, cultural, social aspects of a nation. Since it interacts with other economic and cultural sectors in our countries, it is important that we play a role, the government and that society plays an active role in promoting it. And to break down this interesting topic with me in the studio are two young creatives, Kwame Asante from Ghana and Yemi Opajemi from Nigeria. Yemi is in the film industry and Kwame is in the fashion industry. And on the line with us, joining us later, will be Kobi Komisan, who is in Accra, Ghana right now. He's part of a creative collective of students known as Moonlight Cafe. And we talked a little bit about identity and conformity and all those things, and of course technology. If you were to look at the evolution in the last 10 years, in terms of quantity, how much we are producing, the visual arts, TV, film, and then of course the other aspects of, you know, creativity, the arts, fashion, fashion. And where do you see, if you were to gauge the progress, quantitatively?
I would say the progress has been, in terms of fashion, I'm going to start with fashion. The progress is very good. The progress is absolutely there. It's obvious. I'm on Tumblr a lot, and from what I've seen on Tumblr and just social media in general, it's obvious that what's trending now is actually Africa. Africa is trending right now.
Right.
You're traveling back home, you'd have friends ask you, oh, bring me Prince back when you're coming back. They call them Prince.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
You know, people want the authentic Prince when you go, and they want you to bring, you know, things like that back. So Africa is definitely trending right now when it comes to fashion.
One of the most beautiful tumblers that I see mm-hmm. are the ones that have African prints on them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But also the other side of it is that I've seen major U.S. artists, celebrities,
mm-hmm. yeah.
On with their tumblers, yeah. they have African print on it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What's
Absolutely.
The name of Beyonce's sister, little sister?
Yeah,
she's Solange.
Yeah, Solange is one of the pioneers.
Yes, Kerry Washington.
Kerry Washington is also a very good pioneer as well.
Which makes sense because Kerry Washington is married to
a Nigerian.
Nigerian. You call her auntie right now?
Yes.
Every Nigerian is allowed to call Kerry Washington
Absolutely, absolutely. This is actually a good segue because from, you know, prints, obviously you can't showcase the prints without photography.
Absolutely.
So photography is also doing a good job, which is why you find them on Tumblr.
Mm.
And
the makeup artists.
And then the internet, the fact that the internet has also, we're talking about also the infrastructure that has enabled,
mm-hmm.
that enables it. We're talking about, you know, we have now good cameras that are accessible.
Absolutely.
To photographers.
Absolutely.
Leave alone the aesthetic value of, you know, a good print.
Absolutely.
But also we have the good technology in our hands.
Mm-hmm.
And online, I think in terms of photography,
mm-hmm.
I honestly feel like we are almost on the same level as our Western counterparts.
Absolutely.
Creatively.
And a good point about that is there's a new movie that just came out just a few short months ago called Mother of George.
Yes, I
say
that.
You've
Nigerian filmmaker.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the when I saw the trailer for the movie, I was expecting some hip, young, you know, Nigerian director when I saw his name. But then I went to the screening in D.C., and the guy who's the director is actually not, he's not a younger guy. He's an older guy. And based on the history that he knows and things that he says, he's the kind of guy Nigerians will call bros. And people listening,
bros
is like, you know, he's like, he's supposed to be traditional. He's like, he's supposed to be traditionally grounded. Yeah, he shouldn't be producing
movies
like that.
I get it.
Yeah.
I go ahead. Yeah,
that's a very interesting topic. We'll get to it.
Yeah.
But let me get in Kwame here on the conversation of both print. Since you're a man of fashion,
mm-hmm.
okay. How common is the print? I've seen you. By the way, Kwame is one of the few people, and I've told him many times who puts on those African print shirts as a man, and he actually looks nice with it. So you know, the major kudos to you. And then it turns out the guy actually, you know, creates them himself.
Nice.
Now
nice.
I want to know for young people like yourself in Ghana,
mm-hmm.
how popular is that, and what does that say about the creative industry or the fashion industry?
Well, back in Africa, we've come, as a youth, we've come a long way from viewing prints as belonging to the old folk, where your mom is going to church and she would put on the print, and your dad has the big
Agbaja.
You know?
Yeah.
But now, we the youth have discovered, so prints actually can be used to do something innovative, something unique, where you pick a print up and then you cut it into with like Western cuts, and then you have a Western shirt but in African print. So it's like we are finding innovative ways, bow ties with African prints, hats, shoes, you know. So it's like we are rediscovering the print all over again, and
but
then using
also
the interesting things.
I guess the bigger discussion to that is the issue of identity now.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I feel like there's a need for young Africans now to stand out in this new global environment instead of meshing in, which was the case 10 years ago with, you know, Sean Jones and other where the big houses where, you know.
And you know, I think it's also important to point out that this whole resurrection of print, this isn't the first time it's happening.
Right.
Yeah.
Before the internet came out, before the popularity of the internet, I remember growing up in Nigeria, I remember there was one particular point where when young guys were actually trying to make prints and local fabrics cool. But it just was not happening because
long time
it wasn't happening because the internet wasn't around. People weren't taking pictures. Mm-hmm. You know, none of that was going on.
And that's very interesting too. You know, we talked about the, you know, the internet being this platform that has enabled this. So the internet is the enabler that makes things cool. If I see you do it, then I don't feel weird doing it.
Yeah, you can take a quick picture, post it real quick, like, wow, and somebody's like,
I like the Tumblr. All right, guys, hold your thoughts. We have to take a quick break right now. And when we do come back, Kobi Komsan on the line with us is in Accra, Ghana, will tell us more about Moonlight Cafe, a creative collective that they started as university students at the Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology in Kumasi, where my friend here, Kwame Asante, actually went to school at, just graduated recently.
Now greetings to the world. The cumulative intelligence of mankind is what makes us special amongst all other species. Everything is built upon the foundation before it. These ancient thoughts, this ancient love, these ancient hearts, these ancient souls, these ancient songs, these ancient people.
In terms of quality, it's very difficult for me to say that the music that is being produced now is of lesser quality or not, because you will see that technology is going up, and there are some areas whereby the music that is being produced now is far much better compared to the past. For example, mixing and the production in general. Nowadays, people are really producing good music. But if we talk of composition and the voicing, these are also different areas in music. We would say, I think people in the past used to compose heavy music, good music, and like now that people are just copying from anywhere else. But in terms of mixing sound, people can do better now compared to the past because of the technology.
Should I say, I'm running away from the temptation of saying yesterday we had better musicians than today. But maybe what I can confidently say without regret is that I think today we have a lot of opportunists, people who are just jumping into the music industry because somebody else is doing that, because maybe they just want to attain some cheap popularity. So you can easily say, this one is a musician. I think this one is not a musician.
Ancient songs, ancient people, ancient thoughts, ancient love, ancient hearts, ancient souls, ancient hopes, ancient people.
Though among many in the industry is that governments are not investing in them. Governments are not pushing enough and investing enough in the development of the various arts industries. Now, there's a perception amongst many governments that the arts and music are not important in the country's development process. And, you know, I'm going to say that's a wrong perception. There's also that not so small issue of policies that protect the industry from rampant piracy, for example, and infringement on copyrights. Now, just recently, Jackson, in South Africa, we've seen the example of the movie Mandela Long Walk to Freedom being made by South African producer Anand Singh. But as we know, the main headlining acts were big international figures. We had Idris Elba in the leading role as Mandela. Now, a lot of people on the ground here were upset about that. Of course, there's the argument that in order for this movie to make it big in the rest of the world, we needed to have those big names pull in those crowds. And certainly Idris Elba has been a crowd puller, as we've seen the movie opened up just recently here in South Africa, and it performed extremely well at the local box office.
Nadia, there are many benefits to a good, vibrant creative industry. For example, it can help build national and continental or even international circuits. And this will help distribute African cultural goods and services. But most importantly to me, I feel like this would help enable African artists to generate income through their creative output, something that we are yet to see up to now. We have many people who are creating works of art and music and film, but not really getting paid for it. Welcome back, and we're still talking about Africa's creative industries and specifically honing in on music, film and fashion, the progress that we've made, if access to new technology has impeded our creativity in those three fields, or if it has helped. And with me, we still have Kwame Asante, Yemi, and on the line, Kobe Komisan. So Kobe, tell us about Moonlight Cafe.
Moonlight Cafe is a creative entertainment brand that started out about 2 years ago. And our main focus is the tertiary institutions in Ghana, the universities and the polytechnics. And we started our Moonlight Cafe because, well, for me, in the school I was, University of Ghana, there wasn't any creative entertainment event. In Kwame School, Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology, they had a lot of creative entertainment stuff going on, but we didn't have anything. So we decided that we were going to bring that to our school. And so we started Moonlight Cafe. It's a music, spoken word, and stand-up comedy show. And we do everything strictly by live band, so no one comes to sing to any beat, any pre-recorded beat. It's all a full live band ensemble, and then people perform. And we make sure that we train the artists and we rehearse with them so that everything that comes on is structured. That is what we do, because we also realized that for most of the entertainment events that were going on, it was all about artists come bring in their whatever it is that they have, whether it is good or not, they get on the show, they perform, they leave. And okay, so that's how most of the entertainment shows around have been going. But we decided we needed to bring a change. So
now, I'm quite sure there's so many young Ghanaians who are in the creative arts, so in the creative industry. Mm-hmm. How do you select? What is your selection process?
We just do auditions. It's open to all. You just have to come and audition when we open auditions. And then if your art is good, we get you on the show. We find a balance between what you want to do for your person, yourself as an artist, and what we want for our show, for our audience. And then we strike a balance and bring out the best performance that we can get. There are a lot of upcoming artists. It's like every day about 100 new artists spring up. So there's never a shortage of artists, but right, then and we need to see through and find the good ones.
And that's such a big number. So what is the criteria then, you know, Kwame? How do you select who is the best?
Well,
how do you make a decision of like, say, you, I like your stuff, you, I don't like your stuff?
You know, when you hear good music, quality music, yeah, you know, good quality
music.
I agree
with you.
And when you hear someone with a talent, you know that, hey, you are not going anywhere.
And you can tell somebody who's faking it.
Of course. you don't have to be the owner of X Factor to know that this person sucks. Yeah.
One of the funniest things I've watched is Nigeria Got Talent.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
You know, and this is
he's heartbroken.
I am because I feel like I'm one of those people that feels like what's worth doing is worth doing well. You know,
yeah,
like
true.
There are people with real talent out there. And I understand you want to, you know, make fun of some other people because, yeah, here in America, they do it as well. They bring, you know, the crappy singers and they let them audition, whatever. Mm-hmm. But come on, like, let us have a little bit of pride. Mm. Just a little bit of pride. And that's what bothers me.
Now, Kobe, a couple of weeks ago on the show, we were talking about mm-hmm. the African film industry. And, of course, Kwame was in the studio with me. And we talked about, he mentioned that the film industry, there's a delineation in the Ghanaian film industry. There's film industry that caters to the upper middle class produced in Accra. And then there's also the local film industry in Kumasi. Is it Kumasi?
Yeah, Kumasi.
Tell us a little bit about that. As a person who consumes that, you know, which one speaks to your local experience to you? And which one would you rather buy?
To me, as an educated person, it's the movies made in Accra.
Thank you.
But the problem, I don't know if I can call it a problem, but the situation is that we have about 60% illiterate in the country.
The rural population.
Which means that the local movies, the one that's done in the vernacular and
badly produced,
is going to appeal to the masses. Mm. And that's how come that industry is booming faster than the one that appeals to the more educated and more sophisticated market.
You know, Kwame just interjected here with badly produced, and that to me speaks so many things. But one most important is that I feel like the producers let the consumers down in many ways. Mm. One is you're giving us a bad product, but also you're not really telling our full story as a society.
Mm-hmm. True.
You know, we are more dynamic, we're more nuanced.
Thank
and you
very
come
much.
Here with your lazy production and you're taking it to the world. It's very one-dimensional.
One-dimensional.
And everybody thinks, oh, Ghanaians do that. Yeah. They're all into witchcraft.
Yeah.
You know?
Ironically, the... the Nigerian industry is facing the same problem.
Oh, don't even get me started on the Nigerian film industry.
The Nigerian movie industry is facing the same problem. But like I said, like when I mentioned the Nigerian Entertainment Awards from last year, going on that trip to New York taught me so much. And one of the things I learned from it is that there is a revolution.
A creative revolution.
A creative revolution.
In the African diaspora, though.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's happening. It's starting in New York.
How does that influence our local creative juices? Like, how does that get us?
What that does is it creates both a problem but a solution at the same time. When the Nigerian music industry started, we started with, the music industry that we have today, like the hip-hop. We started with a group called The Remedies, signed by Kenny's Music. They had a rapper who was so bad, he wasn't even rapping. He was doing what we call miggity. That's what
it
was.
Oh my goodness.
But what that did was it created a situation where younger people were listening to it and were so embarrassed. I mean, like, there were things that happened that I can't even go into
right.
now.
And this someone was saying, I can do better than
I can
that
do
guy.
Better than
I was going to mention a Ghanaian artist, but
he does the same thing?
Kobe's sake, I'll mention.
Kobe,
I love my life.
So you know, that just spurred, like, this revolution where people who felt like they could do better just started, you know, coming out the woodworks and were like, mm-hmm. we're going to produce something better. And I feel like that's the same thing that's going to happen with this film industry.
So the diaspora creatives are telling, in a way, you know, yeah, we are Africans, we can do this.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good content, quality
yeah.
content.
Yeah.
And so can you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for listening to Upfront on the Voice of America. I would like to thank my co-host Nadia Samin, Johannesburg, South Africa. We would also like to thank all our listeners who contributed to the show this time around. And if you have any questions or comments or want to contribute to the show in future, remember to send us an email at upfront@voanews.com. If you want to connect with me on Twitter, my handle is @UpfrontAfrica. Let's connect again next week, right here, same time. On behalf of my colleague Nadia Sami, my name is Jackson Vunganyi. Goodbye.
Stay tuned.